Will you please stand and worship with us today? For bringing us all here today, that we can come and worship you and bow before you and learn from your word. I pray that the songs that we sing today will be a sweet sound to you, that they will just be pleasing to you and it will draw us to focus on you. I pray that the words that are spoken today will resonate with us, that we will take what we hear and that we will make the changes in our lives that are necessary so that we can better follow you and better be lights into the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So far we've collected $1,195.12 for the Olacock State Mission Offering. Our goal is $4,000, and today is the last day we will be collecting money for the offering. In your bulletins, you will see a breakdown of how Olacock's funds are used within the state. So please pray, Ask the Lord what he would have you to give. Also continue to pray for the West Virginia State Convention and pray for all of our West Virginia missionaries across the world. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm here to clear up a few things. For our Hoosier One concert that we're having, it's on October the 15th. It's here at the church, and it is free to everybody. The reason for the tickets are as a tool for you to use in witnessing. So on the back is the address. So you could give this to anybody, and they can find their own way here for that night. So those of you who've been praying for somebody and you want to give them or you want to invite them, that's what these tickets are for. So they're right down here in the baskets. Take as many as you need. Carry some in your wallet or your purse. If somebody that you come in communication with during a day and you think, well, I'm going to invite them to come to the concert, that's what these tickets are for. We also have postcards. Postcards with the same information on it. It has our address so that you can mail them to people that you may know. So I just wanted to make clear that the concert is here and it's free. There will be no offerings taken, and it's just a tool for us to get people to come into church, and Larry's going to tell them about Jesus in a message. And the music and the musicians are going to focus on Jesus, and that's what the night is for. So I'm also going to make a challenge to you. And so just like anybody else who wants to somebody else to do something, I did it first to see if it would work. So everybody has a cell phone, and everybody has contacts in their cell phone. So here's what I did. I took one evening, it took me about 2 hours, I went through all the contacts in my phone, and I took a picture of the postcard and the ticket on front and back, and I sent them a ticket and asked them if they would be interested in coming. Now, out of my contact list, I contacted 34 people. Out of those 34, I had 14 of them do a response in 24 hours. So it works. So I'm asking you, the attendance to this concert all depends on us. So if you would please reach out to those who don't know Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Steve, I have 300 and some contacts in my phone. Literally, I do.
6 hours
for me. All right. Well, listen, I'll go ahead and proceed as soon as Don Bartoletti smiles. Everybody look at him. There you go. Haas? Smiling? Absolutely marvelous to see you. Man, you've been through it, and we loved seeing you here. Listen, I'm not going to take up a bunch of time, a couple things. The community breakfast this Saturday at 7:30 is Steubenville. That's at the Urban Mission, right, in 7:30 start time?
Yes.
Okay, so we need all the help we can get. We've had tons of success with it thus far. Let's keep up the good work, so if you can help this Saturday at 7:30. Also, next Sunday is a special Sunday that a lot of you may not even realize. Is that we have invited all of our VBS people that came, all of the contact info that we had of all of our VBS people, we've invited them to church next Sunday. So this is would be a great time for you. Also, if you have contacts with some VBS people that were here, invite them to come, teachers, some of your classes, invite them to come, and it won't hurt. But we're going to love on them and just let them see what a regular Sunday without a squirt gun looks like. All right, so please plan to be here next Sunday. And also a heads up, the first Sunday in October, we will begin to pass the offering plates again. So just be prepared for that. Love you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Will you all please stand as we continue to worship?
Thank you.
and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority.
Shine on us. Let your now you tell me. Dear Lord, we thank you for water. And the time we have this morning, Father, I pray that we would shut up, shut down, and shut out all of the things that want to distract us this morning, and there are many. Whatever it is you have to teach us, Lord, I pray that it would come from you, from your Spirit. Father, those who are here this morning who are not in fellowship with you, bring them into your fellowship, Lord. Those who are not here this morning, we pray for them, for our family members that don't know you, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers that don't know you. We pray that they would come to know you through your grace, Lord. We are grateful that the garrisons made it home safely, traveling. We pray that it was a restful time as we live out our faith in this dark world, Lord. I pray that we would be a light and that we would love the way that you loved and the way that you do love. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. That was kind of lively. That was good. All right. This is a sermon about fellowship, what it is, why we should do it, and how it helps the church. There are 3 points then that we're going to consider. What is fellowship? Why we should fellowship, and how it helps the church. Let's begin by defining some words. First off, of course, is fellowship. Fellowship is an English word that is used 9 times in the New Testament. 4 of them are in 1 John. When Bible translators go from Greek to English, they are tasked with selecting the best English word or words that capture the meaning of the Greek word as it was intended in the context. The Greek word behind the English word fellowship is koinonia, but the Greek word koinonia is used 19 times. So why is the English word fellowship only used 9 times? The answer is because words have a range of meaning. For example, the English word key can mean an unlocking tool, a car key, the solution to a problem or puzzle, the main or primary point, a key to the test. Key can be musical pitch. Key could be a key on your keyboard. Key can be a low offshore island, the Florida Keys. Key can be a position on the basketball court. We know what meaning of key is intended by the surrounding context and simply read it and move on. Here with our Greek word koinonia, there are 7 possible meanings, and Bible translators decided that our English word fellowship in 9 places out of the 19 was the best fit given the context of the passage. Therefore, we must define fellowship in English, not only Greek. Why? Because we risk misinterpreting the text and adding 6 other definitions that do not fit the text at hand. One definition of fellowship then is close mutual association. A more detailed one is a group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest or aim. But those are nouns. Now recall that a noun is a person, place, or a thing. However, there is a verb form of fellowship, as in, let's get together for the cat show, and afterwards we can fellowship at Raul's house and play Catan. In that sense, fellowship is an activity that will take place at Raoul's house between people who have a shared interest, cat shows and Catan. Now, of course, we as a local church have a fellowship of Christians, but we also fellowship together. Although not a uniquely Christian word, fellowship is often associated with the church and church activities. For us this morning, I want to propose this definition, that fellowship is a mutual sharing of activities, interests, and experiences that are meant to meet a common goal. I was at a Boy Scout meeting 2 weeks ago, and all the adults there share the same dedication and belief in the scouting program, and we were meeting to advance and enhance the program. And the last item on the meeting agenda was fellowship. Not everyone there is a Christian, but we still had fellowship as we shared our experiences with one another when the formal meeting was over. Within the church, the ultimate interest, activity, and experience is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we are all interested in, and that is the tie that binds us. We are a varied group of people with a variety of jobs, hobbies, political views, interests, and so on. But we are here as a group of people because of Jesus Christ, to know him and to make him known. Amen. Along with fellowship, there are closely related words that we need to understand, namely friendship and discipleship. Friendship is universal and not for Christians only. We know this just from our life experience. I know some of you, me included, have friends we dearly love and trust who are not Christians. And because of that, there is a depth of connection that is absent. What fellowship does light have with darkness, asks Paul. The most clear example of friendship is that of Jonathan and David. We read this in 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and belt. Now, recall that Jonathan was Saul's oldest son, and Saul was the first king of Israel, and Saul sought to kill David because David was anointed by God through Samuel to be king over Israel and had many, many victories. Saul wants David dead and has contrived different ways to kill him, but Jonathan and David were close friends and they loved each other. In 1 Samuel 20, we read about how Jonathan and David hatch a plan to determine if Saul really wants to kill David. In short, Jonathan would set up a scenario to basically betray his father Saul's confidence and find out what his intention was. Saul was pretty clear about his intention in 1 Samuel 20, verse 31. Send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. At that point, Jonathan knew that he had to warn David, and through a previously agreed upon plan, they end up meeting in a field. And we read this. So Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the boy knew nothing. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his weapons to his boy and said to him, go and carry them to the city. And as soon as the boy had gone. David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the most. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.' And he rose and departed. And Jonathan went in to the city. The love these men had for one another was profoundly intimate and a great example of friendship. We love to point to David as the killer of Goliath, a lustful, adulterous, murdering king, a warrior, you know, a real man. But David wrote poetry, played a harp, wept, and repented with bitter tears." See, we don't talk about how two grown men kissed each other and wept together behind a pile of rocks because they didn't want either to die. In the end, when Jonathan was killed, David says this in 2 Samuel 1:26. "Jonathan lies slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women. This kind of friendship and intimacy is something rare, and it is not only for Christians, but Christians should have an easier time forging this kind of friendship, the kind of friendship that Jonathan and David had with those with whom we fellowship with and work together to know Jesus and to make him known." Now, of course, friendship and fellowship can go together, but they don't necessarily have to. For example, Richie is my friend, and if we get mad at each other, we will not fellowship together. But we know that even while we are out of fellowship, we are still friends. If Richie and I are out of fellowship, not wanting to talk or be together because of a wrong thing one of us has done that we have not yet resolved, and I call him at 2 a.m. because I need his help, in that moment, our friendship will trump our not being in fellowship because he will meet my need because he loves me. However, I can have fellowship with someone in the church who's not my friend because we both want to know Jesus and make him known. You can have one without the other, and you can have both. The last term I want to talk about is discipleship. Discipleship is when one person teaches, leads, and instructs someone in the Christian faith. Typically, an older, more spiritual person takes a younger Christian under their wing to teach them about doctrine, theology, scripture, and right Christian living. Although fellowship, friendship, and discipleship are things we should seek after with other Christians, fellowship is the easiest because it is a few steps removed from the hard work of friendship and fellowship. Therefore, let's talk about point number two. Meeting together on a Sunday morning to worship, sit under the teaching and preaching of God's word is not fellowship. Fellowship is what happens when we are together after the church picnic, or during a good old Baptist potluck, or after church when we stay and talk with one another until 3 o'clock, or when the sermon is short and there is time to plan a lunch out with someone in the church. Naturally, if you fellowship with the same people for a period of time, friendships begin to form. But that is not the goal of fellowship. Rather, fellowship is about sharing with one another the business of life and trying to be like Jesus. We come together and listen, learn, and help as we share our common human experiences. When we do that, we realize we are not alone and have others who are just like us and want the same thing, namely to know Jesus and make him known. We should fellowship because it strengthens the witness of the church and brings unity to the local congregation. For example, long reading coming up here. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12, we read the following. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Well, you can clearly see from that long passage that the local church, as Paul explains it, is made up of individuals with various gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. Together, we use our God-given gifts to work as one body, and we can do that even if we are not all friends. We don't need to be friends to advance the gospel, but we need to be in fellowship. In fact, Jesus came for the masses, taught many, and discipled few. Jesus came for the masses, taught many, and discipled few. Taking that further, Jesus had an inner circle in Peter, James, and John that he shared friendship with in a way that he did not share with the other. We should fellowship with each other, because when we do, we carry out the scriptural commands to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:1. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, Ephesians 4:32. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19. encouraging one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. Confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. James 5:16. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4:9. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4:10. Now, I could go on, as you well know, and share the 13 verses that share the phrase love one another. But you get the point. Obviously, the answer to why we should fellowship is because Scripture tells us to, and when we do it, it helps the church. So the final point, how does fellowship help the church? Because without it, there is no church. Because fellowship is a mutual sharing of activities, interests, and experiences that are meant to meet a common goal. Our common goal is to know Jesus and make him known. If you're here this morning and you are not a follower of Jesus, you cannot have fellowship in the church like I have described, let alone with Jesus. The truth is, God made you and he knows you. He has rightful rule over his creation. That's you, non-believer, non-Christian. He is the king, but you have rebelled against him and followed your own human desires. God will not tolerate your rebellion, and consequently, upon death, rebels like you are rightly judged in conscious torment forever as God's wrath is poured out and all hope is forever lost. But God, because of his love, sent his son into the world, the man Jesus Christ. See, Jesus always lived a perfect life. He lived perfectly under God's rule. He never rebelled. Yet by dying on the cross, he took the punishment and brought forgiveness to all who would repent, believe, and follow. Then God raised Jesus to life again after 3 days as the ruler. Jesus has conquered death and now gives new life and will one day return to judge. So where does this leave you? Well, it leaves you with a choice of really only two ways to live, your way or God's way. It's a choice we all face. Your only hope is to repent, believe, and follow Christ. If you are wondering about how to become a Christian, then at the end of service, come see one of the leaders and we can set up a time to meet. And we will talk with you about salvation. For the time being, this church will be praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to make you spiritually alive. Amen. So you can respond in faith and become a new creature filled with supernatural desire to do the things of God. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we must be diligent and obedient to the one another passages as we come together to know Jesus and to make him known. I have a bonus point. You knew that, right? So point number four, when should we fellowship? Right now, because this sermon is over and you have more time to coordinate this afternoon's lunch and fellowship. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you that we are a people that loves you and that cares for each other and that loves one another. Thank you that we desire to fellowship with our brothers and sisters because we have a common goal, to know Jesus, to make him known. Father, help us to take the truth of your love, hide it in our hearts for those times when we need it, and to take it to the ends of the earth, to our afternoon lunch fellowship, to our job place, to our work, to our family. Lord, we are so grateful that you gave us the Spirit so that we could have fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Please stand with us. Stripped away, and it's simply gone, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though meek and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the
up in here. You've got to get out, right? So But listen, I love y'all. I'm glad to be back. And yes, I enjoyed my vacation. Donna was ready to come back. I didn't want to. But, you know, I opened up my door and there was a beach. So, I mean, but look, I love you. But listen, here's what I want you to take. It is all about Jesus. Amen. Right? And so as you depart this place, make it all about Jesus. If we don't, as believers, who will? If we don't do it, who will? So in your fellowship, make it all about Jesus. Amen. Love you. Thank you for coming. I'll see you next week. God bless.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about